At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This
bound, every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna White, and of course, this is Wounded to Wonderful TV show or talk show or podcast, whatever you want to call it, but it is a show. Today, I am really excited to have Crystal Quagliera, right? And she's going to talk to us about playfulness in your life. So I'm excited about it because I started saying playfulness now. I like to have fun no matter what. You know, so I create the feel that everything you do should be like you're on a vacation, like you're having fun, like a five-year-old. But I think Crystal has some things for us to learn about being playful. So welcome, Crystal, to the Wounded to Wonderful show. How are you today?
Hi, Edna. I'm doing great. I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you.
Good. So how do you show up in the world as playful?
Oh, boy. Well... I wish I could say that I always did, Edna, but that was not the case. You know, I think I've always been a very showy person. I love to do theater and sing and dance and, you know, be on stage in that way. But, you know, at some point, it was like I started to feel guilty for having hobbies or, right, you know, recreational things in my life. And, you know, a lot of that came from sort of my family dynamic and a lot of codependency that I learned growing up. And so, you know, a lot of it was, well, how can I turn this hobby or this thing that I enjoy doing into like a business or a career or a way to make money? And, right, you know, because it was a lot of, you know, guilt surrounding just the idea of having fun and being playful. And I, you know, flash forward, kind of went through a journey of personal discovery and personal development and, you know, finding some serenity and letting go of some of that codependency in my life. And, you know, started digging into that idea of play. And where it first showed up in, you know, my life and where I first realized that this concept was so interesting was when I was teaching dance. And I would teach at the studio, and I had like these two very different classes back to back. So I had a group of 3 and 4 year olds, okay, that did like a ballet tap combo. So you can imagine. Uh-huh. And then immediately following that, I taught adult belly dance. Uh-huh. So I had, you know, these little, you know, preschoolers, and then followed by grown women, you know. And the thing that I was noticing was like, okay, these little kids would come in the classroom. It was like, if they looked in the mirror, it was like they were just looking for fun or making faces, or, you know, they didn't care. I was saying right hand, they were moving their left foot. It was just the idea of being so present. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like, well, you know, it's like at that age, they're not yet even judging themselves, like from a perspective of what other people are thinking about them. And it was just play. That's like all it was, you know, and it was so fun and such a difference when, okay, these adult women would come in the class. Mm-hmm. Half of them needed to go to Applebee's beforehand to get a drink so that they could do this. And, you know, they'd come in the room, they were already judging themselves, looking in the mirror, picking mm-hmm. out other flaws. Oh, what is she thinking? What are they doing? Oh, I'm not doing this right. Oh no, I'm never going to get this. It was just, they were so in their heads about it that, you know, I think I started to realize, well, you know, I have to just make this fun. We have to say goofy things and do goofy things. And, you know, so I would make up like ridiculous names for like the steps mm-hmm. that we were doing and just get people laughing because once they could get a little bit more present and in mm-hmm. the moment, and break through that play, you know, that threshold, it was a game changer. You know, they started to learn quicker. They enjoyed coming, you know, now it wasn't such a chore, you know, now it was like a fun thing that they knew it was going to be fun, but they just weren't allowing themselves to have fun doing it. So that was sort of where, you know, this idea or this concept of play was birthed from, you know, and then, you know, obviously during my own self-discovery and stuff, realizing that, you know, I wasn't maybe allowing myself to play so much in my life and, you know, that people could really benefit from that concept of play. And like you were saying, you know, living life like you're a five-year-old, like, what does that really mean? You know, when we see young children, I mean, they're picking things up and they don't know what this thing does. They're just playing with it. They're happy with the cardboard box, you know, and there's like no judgment, you know, and mm-hmm. I think that's the thing as adults, when we're trying to learn something new, whether it's a new way of eating, a new way of moving our bodies, a new mm-hmm. career, there's like this idea of, well, if I don't get it right the first time, screw it all. I'm never going to get it. You know, this idea that it has to be perfect. There's no room for mistakes, you know, that growth mindset just completely goes out the window. So, you know, helping people, I think, tap into their playfulness allows them that grace of like fumbling and stumbling and getting back up and discovery and all those things.
So I think what you said, I like what you said, that grace is that, you know, giving yourself the grace, because we sometimes as adults, we get so serious. So I have a business partner and I'm like this all the time. So I'm like this, I'm constantly like this. So I'm always saying, you know, lighten up, you know, so, you know, and he always kids me, he says, oh, you know, I'm an old white guy, you know, I was like, I don't care, lighten up. So most of the time is we get so very serious about life, we forget to have fun. So share with me and my audience, what makes a person playful?
I think it's that idea of like maybe admitting to yourself that you're not perfect mm-hmm. and, you know, and allowing yourself to not be perfect and that's okay. And not that God didn't create us perfectly as we are. That's not what I'm saying here. But, you know, also I think, you know, the journey is sort of the way, right? And that there's a lot of things that you can learn and a lot of ways that you can grow if you do something wrong the first time. Right. And you know, and I think we, yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Having humor about life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think about those stories, like, was it Thomas Edison in the light bulb, right? How many thousands of times he tried with the light bulb. I mean, if he didn't have a playful attitude about it, we would not be sitting here. I wouldn't have a ring
light.
We'd
be in the dark.
Exactly. We'd be in the dark, you know? And I'm not to say that he wasn't, I'm sure, banging his head against the wall at times and getting really frustrated, but there was this idea of like, must have been like a childlike wonder in him to say like, yeah, but what if I just tried that? What if mm-hmm. we just tried this, you know, what if we just did this differently? Mm-hmm. And that's really, I think all life is all about, like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. We don't have to have all the answers. Mm-mm.
You could say, and you know, what's important as adults, we need to stop faking that we know the answer and say, no, we don't have the answer. You know, I don't know that. You know, we have the uncanny ability to say, stand there and not say anything and say, like we know, and we don't. A 5-year-old, you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I don't know that. You know, and they'll
exactly
make tell you, I don't know that. You know, and not take credit for it. And then when they come and figure it out, they go, I found out how to do this. And my granddaughter always does that to me. She's like, I'll say, ask her something. She says, I don't know what that is. You know, and just keeps doing what she's doing. It's like, so I get insulted. I'm like, wait a minute, what? Like, but I think that's important to say is that adults learn to say, I don't know, and make it, you know, you don't know, and you probably throw the person off. You're like, you don't know. No, tell me, what is it about? And then you add more to your life when you're open and receptive like that. I want to talk about, you did say something when you were talking about yourself, and you said that you lost your playfulness. Mm. Why, and I'm a why person. Why do we lose our playfulness? Why? Why does it happen?
I think there's a couple of contributing factors. And you know, early on in the book, I kind of go into my story a little bit. And, you know, one of the things I see is, you know, not to slam our educational system completely, because I have a lot of friends who are teachers. I think teachers are heroes. Right. We need teachers, you know, but I think the system in which they operate could use a little help. You know, and I feel that you know, we go from sort of that tinkering around as children, playing with things to figure things out, stumbling around, fumbling around, you know, asking questions without any sort of reservation to, you know, all of a sudden we put kids in a classroom and not only are they like, they have to raise their hand to ask a question. So somebody has to validate you before you can even ask a question about that thing. And then, you know, if you raise your hand and you think you know the answer, well, you better know the answer, because if you get it wrong,
you're outed. You
know, yeah, of course. And, you know, and then you're outed in front of your peers, or, you know, just sort of that the whole grading system itself is, you know, I think one of the reasons I studied so hard is because I hated seeing red marks on my paper, you know, it just like made me like anxious. So I think there's a bit of that. I think we learn to not speak up unless we know the answer. And so, you know, we're sort of left in this situation where we need someone to validate us, right? Like, I'm going to raise my hand, somebody validate me before I can make this decision, before I can answer this question, before I can go down this path. And, you know, I don't know what the solution to that is, other than being aware of it, maybe just nurturing that in children as they grow up in some other form or fashion, you know, and being able to at least reclaim that as adults. The other thing I think is that we learn at some point, like it's like a very tribal mindset. And I talk about this sort of in like a sense of like when we're born, like God gives us a light and we all have a light to shine. And it's, you know, it shines in different ways. Everybody's got a purpose, you know, and we're put into groups, we're put into tribe, we have a family, we have a peer group, we have classes, we have like different things. And, you know, God forbid we start to outshine others because we often feel like we're going to be left out. You know, we're going to be kicked out of the tribe. It's not going to be safe. Oh, what is my family going to think if I quit my job and start a business? What is my family going to think if I, you know, date this person that they might not approve of, but I know this is the right person for me. And so, you know, we start to like put the bushel over the light, dim it, and just not do the things that we want to do, even if we're going to make a mistake, you know, and not that that's always coming from a nefarious place. I think our families and those close to us, they don't want to see us get hurt. They don't want to see us fail, you know? And so it's a lot of like people trying to protect you and your feelings. And that's, I think it comes, yeah, exactly. I think it comes from a place of love, but I think, you know, once we're able to identify that that's happening and say like, okay, it's okay. If, you know, I can leave this tribe, I will survive on my own. Like the lion's not going to come get me. Yeah. You know, there's probably another village down the road that I can, you know, go and sit with for a while. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
I get that. I like what you're saying about the tribe. I've been talking about tribes all day, you know, all week, and people are talking about tribes. And I was saying that, you know, tribes are just everyone that has the same agenda. You know, you just can't pick people and think like they're supposed to fit in, you know, because as you're saying with the playfulness, they may be really, really serious. Are they your tribe? Probably not. Probably not. So, you know, you have to be, you know, I was talking about how I grew up with some friends and, you know, they were my friends since I was like in school. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of grew apart, you know, kind of like you said, it's okay for me to go over here to this other tribe. And they weren't happy about it going to the other tribe. So they didn't remain close to me, but I remain close to the people that I know. Like I do not talk to them when I see them, but we don't appreciate, we don't say, oh, you know what? This is great. I'm leaving home. I don't know any kids anymore that go leave home. I don't know them. I don't know. You know, when it's time to leave for college, they don't take that. Let's go. I'm out of here. You know, adventure mode. They're more fearful than anything, but more adventure. You know, and that's what we need, is to keep that adventure alive in them. And it comes from the parents saying, oh, no, you should travel, you know. And I tell my grandkids this, you know, they're not, two of them are not old enough to go to college yet, but one is in just entered high school. So I was like, when you get finished, first place I want you to go is to teach somewhere. Just go away and just go teach English as a second language. And you'll see, you know, the richness of the world. So he's like, you sure? So I'm positive, you know, and I did it at 40.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. But
that's what brought back my playfulness. I will tell you that as I started traveling and I was away the first visit to China, that's what brought back my playfulness. It's like, wow, I feel like I'm 18. You know, I'm hanging out, you know, I'm having a great time meeting new people. It brings that five-year-old back. So can you give us some little tips or little hints on how to bring it back for us, to bring that back into our lives?
Yes. So it could be so simple, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, up and leave the country and go to do ESL.
For me, it was, girl.
I mean, if that's what somebody's feeling called to do, then yeah, do it. But, you know, it could be as simple as you're just putting on music and just dancing or, you know, listen. Yeah. You know, making a game out of dinner or something, you know, and let's do a family bake off or, you know, even just like, what happened to like getting together with our friends and going to the park, you know, like, there's no sign. I've never seen a sign on a playground that said children under 12 only.
Yeah.
Like I've never seen one, you know, so I like legit will go to the park and, you know, if there's no kids on the swings, I won't kick them off, you know, but I'll get on a swing and, you know, swing and, you know, my husband and I will, you know, go in an evening and go find a park that's, you know, we don't have children yet. We're getting there, but, you know, we'll go down the slides or like, if I'm with my nieces or something, or my nephew, like I'll go on the playground equipment, like just little stuff like that. And, you know, it just can be really so simple, you know, it doesn't have to be these great big acts of, you know, playfulness, but I think those little things that we start adding in our day could maybe build that confidence to say like, oh yeah, well, you know what I really wanted to do? I wanted to go to Europe, or I wanted to take a cruise, or do you think I could do that? You know, it's like these crazy ideas that we have. We, like you said, there's like fear. We operate out of fear. And like, could I do that? Am I the kind of person that does that? Well, yeah, I'm the kind of person that went to the park the other day and went on the swings and went down the slide. Like maybe I could, you know, go to Europe for a couple of weeks or, you know, whatever. So
I agree with you with all of that. I think the biggest thing for me is I have music in my bones. I was born with it in my bones, just born with it. I know it. Okay. I think dancing really limbers the soul. I know a lot of people are stiff, and I will tell them, if you just dance at home, just turn the music on and just cut loose. Just cut loose. Don't dance like nobody's watching. Because yes. That's what a five-year-old does. Dances that they don't care who's looking. They'll cut a rug, you know, and they'll do dance moves. They'll stand in front of the television and mimic precisely Michael Jackson. I mean, to the T. But when the minute, like people start, like you said, started, you know, putting things into the, it doesn't look good. You know, you shouldn't do that. Then it starts dampering that fun part of us. I love the fact of the playfulness. Now let's get to you. What do you do? And we're going to talk about your book, but what do you do in your part of the world with the playfulness? What do you do?
Yeah. So like for me personally, or like for my clients, or
for your clients, you could do that for you too, but for your clients.
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel that I have to, you know, and I have to practice what I preach, and, absolutely. You know, some days it's easier than others, I will admit, but absolutely. You know, I try to do something, even if it's just putting on a show and laughing, you know, just, I try to laugh every day, even when I don't feel like it. You know, so that's a big part of it. But, For my clients, you know, I encourage them to especially go through this exercise of like figuring out, well, what were the things that maybe you liked to do when you were playful? You know, can you think right. back to as a kid, what were those things?
Right.
What were those moments that you were so present that you were lost in the moment? You know, I remember, you know, time just passed like magic. When you're a kid and you're playing, there's no concept of, right. you know that your mom's going to call you for dinner, or you know that you're going to have to go to bed eventually. And there's a lot of routine and structure set for you already as a child. Mm-hmm. But like within those boundaries, kids are so able to just lose themselves. And
yeah.
I remember playing with my Barbies, or, you know, being outside and just like running around and playing hula hoops and, you know, just like goofy stuff and just not even thinking about it. So, you know, I really encourage people to think about those things. Like, what were the things that you did as a kid that you got so lost in? And could you recreate those things? Yeah. Was it a sport? You know, did you really like to play sports? And could you join an adult league? And, you know, especially like if people are at the beginning of a wellness journey, sometimes it's like, yeah, you know, I'd really love to play soccer again, but I could never run like that. And I'm like, okay, well, what's, you know, something you could do today, you know, could you go out for a walk, you know, and can we build up to that point? Like, now is that maybe a goal for you,
right,
that, you know, being able to get back on a soccer field or something like that. So, or coach a soccer team with, you know, your kids or grandkids. So, you know, thinking outside the box sometimes is really helpful. And I think a lot of times, like, adults discredit themselves, like we were saying, and they're like, oh, that's ridiculous. Like, I'm never going to play soccer again. Well, why not? You know, maybe you won't be a professional.
Right, exactly.
But if you find a league, you know, if you're 55 and you find a league of other 55-year-olds that want to play soccer, y'all are all playing at the same level. Like, you know, that's so exactly. It's, you know, I think... just exactly. holding a container, I think, is what I do for people mostly, is I hold that container for people to say, like, what is the dream here? Like, what is the thing that sets you on fire? What's going to be the thing that gets your butt out of bed and gets you, you know, active and doing things and eating better and sleeping better so that you can have a better life, so that you can actually live a more playful life? Because why not? Why not?
Exactly. Yeah. Having fun is really the key there, the real key there. So can you tell us a little bit about your book, you know, what your book is?
Yeah. So it's called The Playful Journal, and it's actually, you know, just like it sounds, it's a journal. So there are, you know, entries, you know, every chapter has kind of a lesson and then some actual activities, because I feel like getting people engaged is how, you know, I always get people to learn. And that's how I learn, you know, when I read a book, I like to journal about it and take notes in the margins and stuff. So So that's a big part of it. It's set up to be kind of a 12-week guide. So week by week, you go through sort of a different lesson. So we start from the beginning. Like I'm saying, we start with, okay, let's go into your past. What are those things that you enjoyed? Who are the people that you enjoy doing things with? Have you lost contact with those people? Did you want to reconnect with any of those people? You know, just kind of going through that. And then the next part of it goes into more of like a snapshot of what you're doing now. You know, are you like, let's celebrate the things that you're doing well, and let's, you know, really take a hard look at the things where maybe you need to take some leadership and make some changes and, you know, be able to do that. And then, you know, as you move through, we create a vision for where you want to go. So there's an exercise in here where we talk about like a meeting with your future self, you know, and kind of like going for coffee or meeting them for dinner. And what is that like? You know, who is that future version of you? Is it, are you meeting them in 90 days, 1 year, 3 years? You know, who is this future version of yourself that you're trying to become, that you're transforming into? And then, you know, I've got some practical things in here. There are some like nutritional habits and things that people can change. So there's So like we go into like fun ways to move your body, and here's some, you know, easy ways to change up your, you know, maybe your nutrition routine. And I don't say pick them all and do them all perfectly, but it's the idea of here's a list of 8 to 10 things, pick three and try to practice these things this week. Right. And then, you know, as we move through, it's, you know, these things, okay, well, let's do some committing now. Now that we've, you know, learned about how to do these changes, like, let's actually put the pen to paper, commit what you're going to do to actually go out and play and do things and, you know, give people practical ideas on that. And then we talk about, you know, a little bit about letting go of resentments and, you know, what are some of those things that hold us back from, you know, maybe having good relationships in our lives. And, you know, are there people we need to forgive? Are you at the top of your list of people to forgive? You know, is there something that, you know, blocks you or gets in your way? You know, I had to really look at, well, why don't I have any hobbies? Why am I not allowing myself to just like have fun? You know? So I had to do an inventory and figure that out and be like, what's going on here? So, you know, a lot of that. And then, you know, kind of at the very end, it's a reflection, because if you're doing this over the course of 12 weeks, week one is a long time ago. So, you know, being able to look back and I, again, sort of build on that confidence of, look, wow, I stuck with this thing for 12, 10 weeks, you know, whatever. And, you know, I have made some changes and, there was that thing that I'm able to do. So, you know, I think once we're able to build confidence in the fact that we can change and we can do things for ourselves, then it becomes easier to just keep going.
Right. Definitely does. And, at the end of your course, is it a course or are you just a 12-week workbook? Is it a-
Well, I mean, this specifically is, you know, meant to be kind of a standalone journal, but if people want to, you know, essentially go through the process with me, I do offer an online group course and also a virtual one-on-one coaching. So, you know, if there's a topic, and sometimes it's nice to be able to do that, to go a little deeper into something and say, okay, you know, I've mastered, you know, maybe putting some playful things in my life, but it's the nutrition thing that's really hanging me up, or, you know, these different things. So, you know, being able to, again, like allow the space to go a little bit deeper and to really work through those things that are blocking you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is great information. Where can we find you? Give us all your social media information. Where can we find you? You know, how can we find your book? Give us that little bit of information.
Yes. So, of course, the book is on Amazon. It's The Playful Journal, and it's purple cover when you see it. So it looks very playful. And
leave it up if, a little bit. Leave it
oh,
up
yeah. If you want to, you could type in The Playful Journal Crystal with a K. It'll come right up. and I also have a link to this and my podcast, The Playful Life, on my website, crystallizedhealthadvisors.com. And that's Crystal with a K, obviously. And I'm also on Instagram, crystal.quagliera. But if you go to Instagram and you type in the search crystallized health advisors, I will come up. Also I usually hashtag everything the playful life. So if you go on Instagram and you search the hashtag the playful life, you will most likely find me.
Okay. Well, this has been wonderful. And I'm definitely going to, well, I'm already added playfulness in my life. I'll keep it in my life now. And I will make sure that we all know it, you know, and the audience is going to really enjoy this and add this back in our lives. Now, audience, please look on the bottom of the video. You'll find all of Crystal's information. And I want you to get in touch with her because she has a lot to say about playfulness. And I'm sure playfulness just doesn't stop in your life. It goes over into all parts of your life, which is a very good thing. And I want to thank you for listening today, audience, and being here with us today. And I'm going to say goodbye. I am your host, Edna White, and this is my esteemed guest, Crystal Quagliarella, right?
Yes.
Yeah, a little awesome. Bit. Okay.
Thanks, Edna.
See, there you go. I'm going to let you pronounce your name. And thank you so much for being here today and talking to us about being playful. Bye. Absolutely. For now.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.